Kirk, what's going on?
Alan Sliwa, man. Tuesday night. What's going on with you, my brother?
You know, what's how about Mario? Mario puts together the Open. How funny was that last week? So we're talking basketball, and I'm talking about the actual game. You're like, Al, I was in Miami for game six of the finals. Mark Cuban was basically at this club. You knew all the players. We were both on two different pages, completely two different pages. Shows you where my head's at and where Kirk Morrison's head was at back in 2000. What year was that? 11? 12?
About 2011.
2011. Well, Kirk, listen, man, we got a lot to get into tonight. And, I mean, we could pick our sport here. We have – this is kind of the beauty of these last couple of days. Kirk, I was actually watching live sports the last couple of days. Are you – you know how you said you're going to give baseball a week? You giving yes. MLS anytime? Does MLS get a little pocket of a window, or they don't even get in?
We're good. Yeah, man, they ain't getting a lot from me. They're getting some, but not a lot.
Well, I mention it because last couple of days, you know, LAFC played yesterday, Galaxy played as well, and then the day before there were some soccer games, and Dodgers had inter squad. They have inter squad tonight, but it is kind of nice to just be in this rotation where we've got live sports again. And I know it's not the major ones we all want. You don't want baseball. You don't want to see Dodgers just inter squad. You want to see the regular season start. And then, of course, the NBA as well. But this is how I want to start the show off tonight, Kirk. So I got a little bit of concern now. And part of the concern of this NBA bubble, we already got enough of concerns about COVID-19. Kirk, why am I reading about players that are trying to go get some food in the bubble?
Like I told you they would.
Does that ring a bell?
Like I told you they would. One day you're going to listen to me, Sliwa. One day you're going to listen to me. One day you're going to listen to me.
Why am I reading that a dude did not know that, and I'm talking about Rashawn Holmes, and I know I talked a little bit about this yesterday, but I bring this up because you literally last week were saying, Al, here's the deal. And we were talking about the food. You're like, right. If the food's not good, if it's not living up to par, guys are going to go get something to eat. They might leave the bubble and go get something to eat. Yesterday, I'm doing the show, or I'm reading the story, and I'm like, tell me this is not happening. Is this a real story? They went to go get a food delivery service, didn't understand that they were outside of the bubble. And you're probably sitting back saying, I told you, Al. Didn't I tell you?
I told you. Hey, and we ain't even a week into the bubble yet, right? Some of these teams ain't even been there a week. And this is happening. So wait till about 2 or 3 weeks. Wait till about a month, month and a half in there, Alan. Now you really got guys who are in violation of the bubble.
That scares me a little bit. You know what I mean?
I told you, man. It's mm-hmm. different, man. People don't understand. I know you could say, well, they make all this money. They're NBA millionaires and blah, 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 this and blah, blah, that. And I'm telling you, you can put out the most – I mean, I'm talking about the fantastic spread of all time, food mm-hmm. every single night. But yet some guys aren't accustomed to eating like that, right? Even like I said it before, when I was in the NFL, I was the same thing when we had those training camps and the food was all put out and you're like, wow, this is amazing. And I'm very humble. I was a guy that, look, trust me, I knew what was in front of me. I was very humble and I understood that not a lot of people can eat like this every single day.
Sometimes you just want some greasy food.
Yeah, but sometimes you just want to change it up just a bit, right? You just want to do something just a little bit different, right? You can have that in front of you every single day. And then one day you're like, you know what? I just want to go do something different. So you're going to have guys that go outside the bubble. Now, the thing is,
Kirk, that's the thing is like, I get and I understand it, but it's also very careless. Like you could ruin this entire NBA. Joe Vardon, I had Joe Vardon on from The Athletic. And I know, Brian Windhorst reported this maybe about 2 weeks ago or so. $170 million is going into this bubble.
Right.
Right? $170 million to try and make this thing work. Kirk, God bless every player that's there. I hope this thing works out. I hope we as fans get to watch, you know, some great basketball and it kind of just adds to our day-to-day or gives us a little bit of normalcy. Kirk, all it takes is one small mistake. Nobody really knows about it. The virus gets in and call it a wrap. That can obviously, you know, stop this restart. I don't really know what the excuse is for this. Like, what should you do to a player who does something like this?
I mean,
kicked
it's
out
difficult.
Of the bubble?
Yeah, I mean, you want to kick them out of the bubble. Yeah, because there are some guys who, to me, are not going to take it as serious as other guys, right? Rashawn Holmes, I mean, no one really probably knew his name before he had this incident happen to him.
He's never been more popular. All of a sudden, he's
a popular guy because he's in violation of stepping out of the bubble to go get some food, right? But there's some guys who just are not of the same, I guess, of the same level of importance in terms of why they're there, right? Some guys are maybe a last man on a roster. Some guys are there because of a contract obligation. There are some guys, right, listening to some other players who have had some media appearances, some guys who are there to win a championship, right? So you have guys with different levels to why they're in Orlando. And like you mentioned, all it takes is one guy to go out and say, you know what, I'm going to go do this. Mm-hmm. And it puts everyone else in jeopardy, right? And that's the hard part, is that the level of importance of the bubble to some is going to be different to others. And that's where the NBA, and look, I don't know who's calling the hotline, right? There's the hotline that you can call. Yeah, the snitch line. If you see somebody doing something that they should not do. What's going on right now in Orlando, it is very difficult. A lot of guys are just basically, this is basketball camp all over again, but totally different. You're away from your families. It is basketball. Go to your hotel room. Come back, you eat, go back to the basketball court, come back to your room, maybe get a workout in. I mean, this is literally like a summer basketball camp, but you can't go outside of the bubble. You may go to the bowling alley inside the bubble. You may watch a movie, and people can tell you about all the amenities and like, oh, look at all they got. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, for guys who are accustomed, let me make sure I preface this.
Yep.
These guys have been living a lifestyle for far too long. Whatever they can do, whatever they want. I mean, they could snap their fingers and have things right there in front of them, mm-hmm. right? Whether it was food.
The Kirk Morrison life.
TV.
Kirk Morrison life.
Nah, brother, that wasn't me. I wish it was me. I snap a finger and things disappear. Like, whoa. I was a solo. I was a one-man act when I was playing. I mean, these guys got, guys who work for them. Mm-hmm. Guys who work for them that had helped them. Hey, what do you need? And they could be right there for them before the words are even uttered out of their mouth.
But this is Kirk. This is why, like, I get it. I understand it. And I love that you can explain it from that perspective because, whether you want to, say it yourself, but obviously you were a great NFL player in the league for a number of years. You played with a number of, obviously, some of the more popular players in the world when it comes to football. And like you mentioned, this is a perspective. They get whatever they want. The point that I'm trying to make is I just don't know if you're too loose on this. Like, I never even thought in my mind, I guess just the way I envisioned this bubble, doesn't it almost sound like, I haven't seen a picture. I don't know, where they can go, where they can't go. But didn't you just picture in your mind, yeah, they know where they can be and where they can't be. And even if they wanted to go out, part of me just assumed that they can't get out. Like, no, this is how the setup is because this is how important it is for them to, obviously try and make sure that the virus doesn't get in. I think you got to have some kind of, a strict guidelines that if you screw this up, or if you go outside of the bubble, you can't come back in. Like, that's right. It. Like, don't you have to have something like that? Because if you don't, aren't people just going to bend the rules wherever they think they can?
I think some will.
Or is that too much?
No, you got to think, like, after a while, a week or 2 weeks, guys are going to test their limits. What can I do and what I can't do, right? And then there's just some guys that just feel like, hey, I'm bigger than this. Or, like when the rules become just a little more relaxed, you may have guys who may take more of a deep breath and just, hey, this is my situation. But like I mentioned before, there are just some guys who are accustomed to living a lifestyle. Now, outside of the guys who have tested positive for COVID-19 who are not in the bubble right now currently, I believe like a James Harden. Now, we know Russell Westbrook tested positive for COVID-19. Yep. He is not in Orlando. He is still quarantining at his home. And everybody thought, and the reports were, hey, if he's got it, then obviously James Harden must have it. And then it was reported James Harden does not have COVID-19. He's just deciding, I want to train on my own. I want to get ready for this restart of the season on my own. I don't want to go to the bubble just yet.
If Russell doesn't have to go, I don't have to go.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all.
Yeah, let me enjoy these last couple of days. When do the games start? And I think now some players are thinking about it like, yeah, I should have taken the max amount of days before I can come over. Like I said, it's the level.
Lakers
of,
aren't doing that. Clippers right. aren't doing that. I mean, yeah, you know, well, Milwaukee's like I said, not doing that.
The level of importance of the bubble of what's going on is different for each person, each team. Clippers, Lakers, Bucks, okay, the top three. We just call them the top three. And I say them they're the top three because the people in Las Vegas told me that these are the three top teams that right now are favored to win an NBA title. When it comes to the top three, I'm telling you this, all of those teams, it's important to them. It is important. They are making this thing. They are taking it to the utmost. They are serious about it. There's been some injuries. There's been some guys who are, you know, learning their way, getting back into the groove of everything. They are in a different mindset than I think a lot of the other teams.
Okay,
right?
let's do this, Kirk, because we do got to go to a commercial break real quick. We'll finish that point when we come back, because if you're saying that there are certain players who are in this bubble, obviously approaching it differently, it would be stupid for me to think anything otherwise. You got 22 teams there. You got over 300 players. It's not like everybody has a chance to win an NBA championship. So the motives are going to be different from player to player. Let's talk about that when we come back. Plus, this snitch line, I got to ask you, what are people, what are they calling about? What are they calling about when it comes to a snitch line? I'm very curious about that. So we'll talk about the snitch line when we come back. Alan Tsui with Kirk Morrison. Stay right here, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, so hopefully nothing, no more careless moves from some NBA players, which I'd be crazy to think that there aren't going to be more careless moves. Yesterday, Kirk, I was on with Ben Golliver. So he writes for the Washington Post. He's an NBA writer. He's inside the bubble. And I thought he brought up such a good point because, you know, like you were just saying right now, the
yes.
Houston Rockets, you might have some of these players that are or the Sacramento Kings or the Phoenix Suns. Everybody's going to approach this bubble a little bit differently. What you're hoping for is they respect their occupation, they respect their job, they go down there, they follow the rules, and they don't jeopardize what was built for the NBA to try and finish this season. $170 million, Joe Vardon, I mentioned from The Athletic, said that that's what the NBA spent to put this, you know, bubble together. So with all that in mind and with all that being said, I know not everyone's going to follow the rules, but one of the things that he mentioned, he said, let me just use this as an example. He said, let's say the Lakers first round, they go up 2-0, right? Mm-hmm. Against the Pelicans. And now all of a sudden New Orleans, who doesn't have, they're not going home for some home cooking. And hopefully that home crowd, like, you know, most people are accustomed to a series. You got two on the road and then two at home. That's not happening. So all of a sudden, now they're down 15 at the end of the first half in this down 2-0. Now maybe some of these players start giving up. They're like, you know what, screw it. We know we're not going to win. We know we're not going to beat the Lakers. We don't even have a crowd here to support us. Let's kind of wrap this thing up. Let's get the hell out of this bubble and we'll move on. I'd be crazy to think that that's not even happening before the postseason even starts. So when I say careless and when I say, you know, from a competitive perspective, the integrity of the game, yeah, this is different. No question about it, it's different. That happens when they're at home. That happens just during a regular season. Now that I think there's, you know, folks in Orlando or if there are players there that just want to get out, like, okay, I came here to get my check. I know that stuff can happen. I hope it doesn't, but I'd be crazy to think that it doesn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, there is – there are guys who I believe, Alan, that – are there just because they have to, you know, fill out an obligation, right? They have to, there's a required obligation to be there. Are they going there? And I've mentioned this before. Are they going there to win a championship? Probably not. Are they going there to go out and try to, you know, leave some, you know, thoughts for next year, hopefully making a roster? Probably so. But I look at a team like the Brooklyn Nets, and I'm looking at the team that they're bringing, obviously, to Orlando, and I'm just telling you this, that's not going to be the same team when they restart their season, right? So to me, those are the guys who understand, hey, look, I'm just whatever, you know, we just playing. I'm going to do the best that I can, but at the same time, I got to start being about me. And I had mentioned to this to you a little bit off air. We talked before the show, Alan. I'm looking for the guys in Orlando that are like, okay, I'm about to get mines. Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be a lot of those. Like, I'm about to get mines. We not making the playoffs. I mean, no, sorry. We're not winning the championship. Mm-hmm. Like, let's just be honest. We're here to play hoop, right? And I think this, it's going to be weird because the setting, all right, the setting of where these games will take place. I think a lot of us are trying to figure it out. Like, man, I wonder how it's going to look. What's the setup? What's the setting like? I feel like the setting of this is going to be more of a recreation kind of game, more of a, you know, YMCA, local park, you know, Venice Beach kind of feel to it.
It's going to have that feel to it. 100% it will.
And you're going to have a lot of guys who start to play, I think, a lot of one-on-one basketball because there is no crowd noise. There is no crowd feed.
The
you know, to hype
teams,
you up.
Right, Kirk,
what's
the
up?
Bad teams you're talking about, right? You know what I'm saying? I'm saying the bad teams are going to play one-on-one type of ball. That's what you're referring to, right?
I'm saying everyone. I really believe that, Alan. Like, seriously. I know some people, they're going to run plays and – nah, man. There is no crowd noise. There is none that, you know, you're playing in a game and you're making three or four passes and you make a three. You're getting a golf clap from the bench. It's pipe not exciting noise. The crowd.
Piping some fake noise. No,
like, I'm just saying, you could have one of the most amazing plays and then what happens? It's not somebody's like the crowd is going to come up to their feet. It's not like everybody's going to be like, defense, defense, defense. No, it's not like that, man. And so what I'm saying is that you come down and you shoot or you dunk on me, I think there's guys who are going to be like, oh, okay, hey, pass me the ball. And we're going to see a lot more, I think, honestly, guys just going out to get their shots up, getting their baskets, not really playing within the scheme of this, right? I don't think it's going to be as serious as I think a lot of the outsider. I think people are thinking these guys are going to take it to a point where they're going to be, we're going to do everything in their power.
I think the quality is going to be the concern for me, quality of play is definitely the part of they stopped playing basketball for 4 months, right?
Correct.
Like that's a concern. No question about it. But I think once this thing gets going, maybe the regular season, you'll have some players that
they're
trying to get back in the
group. Alan,
we're
talking about eight games, brother. Ain't no regular season. We talk about an eight game round robin.
but that regular season, all that is, Kirk, is just getting you prepped for the playoffs. That's all.
But that's preseason, man. That's preseason like the NBA, though, Alan. Come on, man.
100%.
That's eight games. That's eight games of them doing what? Running around, trying to get the legs together. I can't. Yeah, you're not doing that. You're not playing LeBron extended minutes.
No, of course you're not.
Anthony Davis extended minutes. Those guys aren't going to be playing extended minutes to maybe the second series, right? So I feel like the first 8 to 12, the 13 games, are they really trying to find how their offense is?
Not everyone's the Lakers. Not everyone's the Lakers, and not everyone's LeBron. I mean, there's other teams that you're going to have a group of teams just trying to get into the tournament.
Correct.
And then you're going to have teams that want to avoid the Milwaukee Bucks, or they want to avoid the Toronto Raptors or the Lakers or the Clippers. So some teams it's going to matter, and you're right, there's going to be other teams. Lakers aren't going to – you're not going to see LeBron and Kawhi playing 40 minutes in that regular season game, that first game. that's not going to happen. But right. I think as this thing progresses, I think it's going to be competitive. I think there's going to be a good quality of play. It just might take a month of basketball to finally see that.
Yeah, it's going to take a while, and that's what I'm saying. So in that time, you're going to get a lot of one-on-one basketball, right? You're going to get a lot of, okay, let me go get mine in. Now, maybe as you get into the, you know, conference semis, conference finals, right, maybe even the finals, it will shift more to a, you know, more of a regimented, more of a technical, more of a spread it out, run the offense kind of thing. But right now, I don't see it that way. It's like we see it in all sports, right? The first month is usually what? Getting your legs back underneath you. These guys have been gone for 4 months, right?
It was a full offseason.
It was a full offseason, and so I can't expect them to do what? Come back and run the offense. Because if you run two plays in a row and they don't work, man, just give me the ball. Get out the damn way. All right, let's just be honest.
Timeout. I'm calling a timeout. We're regrouping.
Let's just be honest. And at the end of the day, the Lakers have two guys who can do that. Hey, look, let LeBron do him. Hey, get out of the way. Let AD do his thing, right? And now, you know, obviously, and I haven't had a chance to talk with you since we heard the news. I know we kind of talked about it through text and things like that. But, you know, now with the loss of Avery Bradley and now Rajon Rondo, those are two guys that now you look at the Lakers, they are not the same team that the Clippers and the Bucks saw back in March, right? And we know the Lakers
won those
two games.
You jumped off that Lakers wagon, man. You jumped off so quick on that Lakers wagon. I thought I had you with me.
No.
Next thing I know, I look in my rearview mirror. You're gone, bro. You were gone.
I'm just looking at them, and you're starting to see some of the age creep up on them quickly, right? You're relying on guys with no playoff experience at all. You're relying on guys who this is their first rodeo, right? This is their first time, and so it's going to be different.
Well,
about the intensity, man. I'm not worried about number three, right? That's Anthony Davis. I'm not worried about number three. Mm-hmm. I'm not worried about number 23. Those are two guys not worried about, okay? I'm worried about the other guys. Zero, right? Caruso. I'm worried about him, man. I'm worried about him. Even Quinn Cook. And Quinn Cook played for the Warriors. But he played spot duty. Now we're talking about extended minutes. So now I'm saying that those are the guys who are really going to have to play within the scheme.
All right. Sounds like we lost Kirk Morrison right there. We're coming up to a commercial break anyway. So I do actually want to do this with Kirk because I sent out a tweet, Lakers versus Clippers. And there's a lot of people starting to now have the conversation because of what Kirk just mentioned. You know, Kirk is referencing these last two losses for the Lakers. Avery Bradley, Rajon Rondo has him now leaning towards the Clippers, and he's not the only one. There's definitely people out there that are leaning towards the Clippers right now. We'll have that conversation coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show with Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, as always, we appreciate you tuning in. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison. Kirk, how long do you think you talked before you figured out that you were disconnected?
Wow, I don't know. I can't even tell you that, man. Honestly.
Like, how far did into you're like, man, Al's really giving me some room here to get my point across, and then you just realize, yeah, I'm not even on.
Yeah, because I was going, and the next thing you know, I was just talking to myself. So. Yeah, technical difficulties, but that's the part of live radio, man. That's why I got a veteran in Alan Sliwa who can have my back when things like this go down.
Kirk, that's the best when that happens. You're on the phone with somebody and you're just sitting there having a conversation, and you know you're in the middle of a point. It disconnects. You have no idea. You just keep going, and then they call you back like a minute and a half later. And while you're still in your point, the phone is vibrating. You're like, so you didn't hear any of that? You didn't get any of that? That's usually how it works out for me. Okay, so Kirk, we're talking Lakers Clippers,
right?
And I know your one of the points that you had mentioned to me was you had thought when Avery Bradley was out that okay, you know, you're losing a piece, and I'm with you in that. You're losing a piece. Now you're losing Rajon Rondo. Here's the only good news that comes with Rondo.
Okay.
The good news that comes with Rondo being out for 6 to 8 weeks is that it's 6 to 8 weeks, so you got some time. And I mentioned this on Lakers Talk yesterday. I want to see Rondo there. So there are a lot of Laker fans that aren't crazy about Rajon Rondo. I know the value Rondo would have on the Lakers because he's a veteran, because he's somebody that's been in the league for a long time, because what he could do for the Lakers on the bench, what he could do on the floor. I want to see some Rondo in the postseason.
Right.
But one of the advantages is that sounds like he should be back for the second round. So August 18th is when the playoff starts. That's 5 weeks away. September 1st is when the second round begins. That's around 7 weeks away, something along those lines. So you have to imagine that at some point the Lakers are going to get Rondo back, and that veteran, that leader, that person that you're talking about is so important come postseason. He'll be there after this or during the second round and on. And I think, you know, obviously that's going to bode well for the Lakers because you really can't lose vets this time of the year. Avery Bradley is somebody that they already don't have.
Well, and I think what we're doing is we're wishful thinking, though, right? Also, too, we got to think about this, Alan, and you got to just make sure hopefully I'm correct in this, but I believe per each round you can only suit up or bring how many guys on per round, or is it just throughout the playoffs?
They'll be okay because they won't replace his position.
Okay, that's what I want to make sure.
You see what I'm saying? So
right.
Yeah, they won't replace his position.
Okay, I wanted to make sure on that one, just because of this, Alan. When I look at the Lakers roster right now, currently,
mm-hmm.
Can they win? Yes. Now you're going to ask a lot of J.R. Smith, Deion Waiters, obviously Alex Caruso, Quinn Cook. Those are going to be guys who are going to be playing
role players,
shoot guards, mm-hmm. all of that. But what Rajon Rondo brings is the playoff experience that me and you have talked about a ton on this show, okay? But at the same time, he's going to miss this period, right? These eight games of the quote-unquote regular season.
Wait a minute, I thought you said the eight games don't matter. Just say – no, okay, go.
I'm just saying, but just for him to even get out there and get his win back, get his legs back.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll have missed – he won't have played in a competitive game since March.
Mm-hmm.
So when he comes back, it's going to be an acclimation period for him to come back, whether it's in round two or even round three.
It'd be 6 months that he hasn't played basketball.
So,
you know, six months that he hasn't played in a game.
And that's when people are just like, oh, he's 4 to 6 weeks. Yeah. Or 6 to 8 weeks. I'm sorry. I'm like, yeah, 6 to 8 weeks. I don't know. Mm-hmm. To me, that's looking more like, hey, I'll see you in the conference finals. All right, because I think he won't be a factor even if he does come back in that second round. Or maybe the Lakers don't even need him, just depending on who they draw in that, you know, second round matchup. Right now, they could possibly play the Clippers in that second round matchup. That's a strong possibility. You know what I mean? So that could be interesting. Or just depending on, you know, what goes on, they could be able to play without him in that second round and move on and allow him to get his feet wet a little bit, you know, get his legs underneath him, and then he will be a good role player. I just know there are certain guys, and the guy who scares me the most in these playoffs is Patrick Beverley. Oh, my God, he scares me the most because I look at what he can do in terms of his intensity on the basketball court, right? His intensity is just get up and be an energy guy.
That's
right?
Why I like Avery Bradley. That's the Avery Bradley.
He's missing
that part
right.
Miss the most because he kind of had that type of role for the Lakers.
And you remember in that game between the Lakers and the Clippers, who got the technical foul to get the thing started off? You remember that?
Avery, right?
Avery Bradley.
Yep, that's
it
right.
Was Avery Bradley.
I think he got it against Patrick Beverley.
You see what I'm saying? Like, you have to have guys who, like, look, man, your little antics, that ain't working over here. Mm-hmm. That's not working with me. Mm-hmm. And right now, you don't have two guys that encourage that, right? They love that. Like, Rajon Rondo loves when a guy talks trash or a guy who's in his face like that. Same thing with Avery Bradley. But now you're asking a couple guys.
They thrive in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are certain guys who and that's what I keep telling you. This is going to be more of like a street ball game. Because we're not going to see the fans get loud, right? We're going to see guys who just go at it and just go hoop. We're going to see who can just go at each other and just play ball, right? The intensity comes within the players. The energy comes within the players. I understand what LeBron and AD can do, and I've said that. I know what Giannis is still showing me what he can do. I know what the Clippers can do. Like, as a squad, they're underdogs. They're kind of coming in like nobody's expecting us. People are starting to pick them a lot.
I feel like, Kirk, and that was one of the things, every time I'm asking the question with a lot of these different reporters, and obviously I proposed a question to you as well, I feel like they're starting to lean more towards the Clippers. So if I felt like when the season ended, when it stopped, a lot of people still continued. No, it's Lakers. Lakers are the team to beat. I still think Lakers are the team to beat, but I feel like there are more people talking about the Clippers than they were before. But let me play this real quick, because Clippers guard Kawhi Leonard was on that video conference that each one of these players are doing now. They're getting a chance to address the media. Let's hear from Kawhi Leonard real quick, because I think that's, first of all, that's somebody we never hear from, and we'll get his thoughts on, obviously what's happening in Orlando. Here's his thoughts on finishing off the rest of the season.
This is just the layout of this year, just pretty much stay focused. I mean, it's not like a regular NBA season. Nobody life is, pretty much how they planned it to be at this point. With the pandemic. You take it for what it is. Everybody's happy that, a championship will be crowned this year. And if that's the 2020 championship, then, we won it. That's how I look at it. This is what the layout is. And it's just for us to go out there and, complete this journey.
I mean, would you say he might be one of the best motivational speakers you've ever heard of, Kirk?
He's a San Diego State guy, man. He just keeps it simple. Keeps it simple. He's an underdog, man. It's just
His style, nothing wrong with his style. Actually, I respect Kawhi as much as any player in the league. I really do love the player that just goes out there and plays. I mean? They're not talking the entire time. They just roll up their sleeves and they go to work. And this is kind of how he's built his brand, the quiet player that says nothing, that's his brand. Everybody kind of has, well, what's your brand? What's your image? That's his image for Kawhi Leonard. I want to play one other clip because, we go from Kawhi to Paul Pierce, who was on the jump and is talking about just specifically, Kawhi Leonard and where he is. And this is going to transition to, the next point of, both of these teams, the Lakers and the Clippers, will be as healthy as they've ever been. And I'm referring to the top guys. Of course, we know what's going on with the Lakers with Avery Bradley or with Rajon Rondo. But here's Paul Pierce talking about Kawhi and what to expect.
Listen, a no restriction, no limits on Kawhi will be the most dangerous player in the bubble. And I'll tell you why. First of all, Kawhi doesn't need a crowd to get himself going. You talk about a guy who shows no emotion on his face. He doesn't need guys in his face to pump him up. And we already seen the spectacular run he put on last year. And no restriction, Kawhi will be the best player in this year's playoffs in this bubble. I guarantee you, a no limits Kawhi. He's coming off a great run last year. He has a better team behind him this year. This is the perfect scenario for Kawhi Leonard going into the playoffs. If he makes it through these eight games, expect to see greatness once again from Kawhi Leonard.
Paul Pierce first, let me just say this. never gives love to LeBron. Gives love to LeBron. he doesn't. Every time I see him talk about, and I know he doesn't give love to the Lakers, that's fine. It's all good. He's a Boston Celtic, but I think sometimes there's a lot of times he disrespects LeBron, and I don't know if it's on purpose, but he just never, I feel like he's bitter about LeBron. Like there is definitely something there. Maybe he thinks it and LeBron doesn't. Am I onto something here, or do you notice the same thing with Paul Pierce?
I think I noticed a little bit to what you're saying.
No love for LBJ.
Well, I think he does have a respect for LBJ. But I think for him, remember growing, not growing up, but throughout his NBA career, that was his competitor, right? That was his guy that they would go up against. And so they had to, they wouldn't allow LeBron to get through to the Eastern Conference Finals, right? They, when Boston was at its peak, right, with KG,
Ray
Allen,
three Hall of Famers
versus one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, when they came together, that's what it was, right? And then, you know, it did take some time for LeBron to say, you know what, he goes over to Miami and kind of breaks up the big three of Boston. So I think, you know, for Paul Pierce, he had a chance to see LeBron grow, kind of take away a lot of his shine in the Eastern Conference. And maybe it's for him, it's hard to really speak on, but let's be honest, he is an L.A. guy. And Paul Pierce, he's played for the Clippers. And come on, man, who was his coach? Doc Rivers. He ain't going to say nothing bad about the Clippers. He ain't going
to
say nothing bad about the Clippers.
You don't have to say anything bad, but you can still give love and respect. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think you can't do both. Like, I can say, let me describe Paul Pierce, even though there's probably a lot of times, you know, I would say, man, Paul Pierce was always complaining when he was in the league. Why do I feel like he was always complaining? Here's the reality about Paul Pierce. Unbelievable career. You know, stayed with the Boston Celtics, kind of stayed through the thick and thin, eventually won an NBA championship. You tip your hat to what he accomplished with the Boston Celtics. I just don't feel like I don't feel like he wants to give any type of love to LeBron James, because if you think that Kawhi Leonard will have a better playoff run than LeBron James, this is just, you know, talking, you know, obviously just looking at their games. Did you watch LeBron all season long? LeBron was playing in every single game. When LeBron went to the bench, the Los Angeles Lakers struggled like no star can probably see. And that's even with having another top five player in the league with Anthony Davis. LeBron was leading the league in assists. He'd have games where he wanted to have 13 dimes. He'd have games where he wanted to put up 35 points, whatever the team needed. To just say that, oh, well, it's going to be Kawhi that comes back and he's the player that you know, will have the best run in this bubble. That sounds to me, you know, like I said, Kirk, it sounds, there's always, I feel like, something personal with Paul Pierce. It has less to do with what he really feels LeBron's going to accomplish.
Well, I think that's his opinion too, though. Isn't his opinion is that he thinks that Kawhi Leonard can thrive in this environment more so than LeBron James. And I agree with him in some aspects.
Because of the crowd you're talking about?
Well, I just remember it's just the whole layout, right? Like when you look at just the layout of everything, the way that these games will be played, and I think that's what we can't wait to kind of see. Alan, we really want to see it. That's why I'm very excited. You asked me earlier about, you know, Major League Baseball and how they only got 7 days. They really only got 7 days when their season starts, because I want to see what this looks like. And I know the first game between the Clippers and the Lakers, when this restart comes back, it's not going to be really for much, right? It's just basically maybe a little jockeying for position, if that. But I just want to see, how does the flow of the game look, right? How does the intensity look, right? How do these guys kind of feel each other out a little bit? Because when we saw it in March, it was different. It was at Staples Center, and it was the game of the week. It was, you know, all the celebs on the sideline, on the baseline. It was the number one crew. I mean, it was everything that you wanted. It was like the finals. It was like the conference finals back in March. Mm-hmm. And you knew what the game meant. I want to see, what does it look like now, having spent 4 months off? Because those juices, that atmosphere, it won't be the same, Alan. It just won't. I'll give you a quick story. My first game in the National Football League, all right? First game, Alan.
Kirk, how good did you feel?
2005, okay? Mm-hmm. It's Thursday night. We played the Thursday night game, the Raiders did. Thursday is the kickoff
game
against the defending champion, New England Patriots. They just beaten the Philadelphia Eagles. I can tell you everything about that game, Alan. It was a night game. And for people who don't understand, Monday Night Football on the East Coast is different than Monday Night Football on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. On the West Coast, the sun's still out. Okay? When you get to the Eastern time zone, oh, it's dark. It's dark time, as we always say. It ain't night. It's dark time. It is about 8:30, and it is a late night. But Alan, I remember it was the first game. I run out of the tunnel with my teammates, and it is just sold out. Patriots fans screaming and yelling. They're about to unveil their banner from winning another Super Bowl. I believe it was, God, who was singing? It was, man, I got to look it up. It was, I want to say.
Big time. I'm sure it's a big time artist.
Oh, it was, mm-hmm. Was it Carlos Santana may have been singing?
Sure.
It might have been. It might have been Santana. I believe it was, but it was rocking. I'm on the sideline and I'm just looking around and Randy Moss is, you know, Charles Woodson, Warren. I'm like, this is the NFL. And then the Patriots come out. The lights are all out. They got the smoke coming up and there goes Brady and Brewski and Corey Dillon, right? Here goes Belichick in the hoodie. And I'm sitting there like, wow, this, I knew the NFL was, I knew the NFL. Yeah, I knew the NFL was something. And after playing four preseason games, I literally was not ready for what this was about. I was like, wow, the intensity like this. I couldn't believe it. My literally felt my chest, like I felt my heartbeat in my chest.
Because
like,
your chest was so far out.
My heart
like,
was
like, I'm in the league. I'm on TV right now. Everybody knows who I am.
Man, no, it was, I'm telling you. Like,
no, I know.
Mm-hmm. I was so naive though. I was a young puppy. I'm a rookie. But I'm looking around, I'm wide-eyed, and I was like, whoa, next thing I know, I didn't start that game. One of the only games I didn't – actually, the only game I did not start as an Oakland Raider in my 5 years there. I did not start that game. Mm-hmm. But the guy who started the game, because I was at the time just a nickel linebacker, but the guy who was in front of me, they said, okay, got a little more experience than me, right? And then, boom, he messes up one play. Morrison, get your butt in there. I go in there, and then it's the rest is history. I stay in the rest of the game because I wasn't going to come out. And I remember just battling with Tom Brady throughout that game, watching it, and tackling Corey Dillon and Ben Coates and all the – it was just a great thing. So I bring that story up, Alan, because that first game was just like, wow. And then the next game was a home game. And the intensity was totally different. It was a day game. It wasn't the same of that Thursday night. National TV, fireworks, smoke.
It's a 1 p.m.
Santana.
Kickoff.
It's one. Right. It's a 1 p.m. kickoff. Mm-hmm. And I just remember running out the tunnel for that 1 p.m. kickoff. And, Alan, it didn't have that same intensity. Hmm. It didn't have that same feeling as I had in that first game. So I was always a motivated guy. It just didn't have that same feel of importance of that first game was and the emotion and the adrenaline and all of that. And so, yeah, I went out there. I played that game. And I was – look, it was great. Great game. But in the back of my mind, though, I'm just like, wow, I can't – I want to – why wasn't this game like that game?
That's going to be the vibe that a lot of these players are going to have in Orlando.
It's going to be different because the games that they're used to playing, right? I think we're all right now in Los Angeles, everybody who's listening, like we're all doing what? We're all getting comfortable with the new normal, right? Like the games for the NBA this season won't be like the games that we saw March and before.
No.
So it's going to be a different feel to it. It's going to be guys that have to get used to it. And the team that gets acclimated the quickest is the team that will succeed. And I think that's why some people are now leaning more toward the Clippers because of their brand of basketball. And the guys on their squad look a little bit different than the guys who are playing for the purple and gold.
All right, let's do this. When we come back, Kirk, I want to get into this because as we kind of shift gears, we'll get back into the we'll get back to the NBA here in a little bit. But I got to get your opinion on this. We got a chance – Stephen A. Smith on First Take, Paul Feinbaum on First Take. They're talking college football. What we expect from college football this upcoming year. And we got a chance. It was last week where you got two of these Power Five conferences are now going to go to a conference-only schedule. So I want to talk about that when we come up, when we come back. And Stephen A. Smith has this idea about college football potentially playing in a bubble. I don't know if that's possible, but we'll do all that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show. Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison on 710 ESPN. Kirk, what borough are you in tonight?
What borough am I in tonight? I think.
Where
I'm
you
just...
bobbing your head with your Timberlands on?
Yeah.
Puffy jacket, hat on.
Yeah, I think I'm just tonight right now because we're in July. So I think I'm going down to Times Square right now, just kind of walking around. I don't got my Timbs on, right? I think I got my Nike, just some Nike Air Forces on,
You're
some shorts
around. Mm-hmm.
And a shirt, man, just a little T-shirt.
Throw a jacket on just in case. You never know.
Nah, no, we New York in
hell.
The summertime.
Humid
it's July, man. Yeah, I put a jacket on, I'm going to be musty.
this song will never be the same. Anytime this song plays, with or without you, Kirk, this is what I'm going to think of. Kirk Morrison hanging out in New York. Okay, so Kirk, college football seems to be, you know, a major, major question mark. And I had Heather Dinich on last week, who covers college football for ESPN. She's fantastic. She was all over SportsCenter and all these ESPN shows last week because you had the Big Ten decide they're going to go conference only. The Pac-12 decide they were going to go conference only. I want to play this clip real quick because we know how important college football is to Los Angeles. USC and UCLA, two of the more iconic schools. And then you could count in the Rose Bowl and the Coliseum, two of the most iconic, you know, obviously venues. I want to play an idea of what Stephen A. Smith had in regards to what college football can do. He actually thinks that they could use a kind of bubble model the way the NBA, the way the MLS is doing. Here's Stephen A. Smith on First Take.
And so when you've got college athletes who are in a position to not only generate revenue for high-end universities, but also, or have high-end football programs, that is, but also because they have their own pro football aspirations, what I think the only way to pull it off is to have a bubble kind of atmosphere for those football programs. The student body, if they're doing classes on Zoom and they're not going to be in attendance, so be it, because we all know we don't see them showing up to games. We don't see universities really having crowds this upcoming season. But if you are a big-time college program and you can create a bubble kind of atmosphere, I think it's something that they could pull off. Will they do it? I doubt it. Like Paul has educated me about on numerous occasions, they have no leadership in college football. There's a whole bunch of heads going on. We don't know. But I'm just saying that conceivably, if you have a few conferences who are desperate enough to actually have a season amongst themselves, it's something that they could pull off if they adopt whatever bubble atmosphere the NFL is going to try to adapt.
So, Kirk, we got a lot of eyes. You know, this has just kind of come with the this has been the process when the bubble or not when the bubble, when sports first stopped. All the attention was on the NBA because they were already in the season. All the attention was on Major League Baseball because they were in spring training. And MLS, you could say, has got attention too because, you know, they had just started their season as well. Now that we're getting closer to football, obviously a lot of the conversation, not to say that it ever slowed down in the NFL. NFL made it happen with free agency. They made it happen right with their NFL draft. But college football, we are, you know, you're getting as close as you possibly can, you know, trying to figure out whether college football is going to have an opportunity this year. And I already mentioned what some of these conferences are doing. Kirk, do you see a predicament that plays out from these Power Five conferences? Let's say hypothetically the Pac-12 decided, you know what, we tried, but we're not going to be able to do this. Do you think it's a domino effect for all the Power Five, or do you think SEC is like, we don't care what anybody else does. If we can make it happen, we're going to make it happen. If some of these other Power Five conferences don't want in, or their state isn't lenient enough, then that's their problem. Do you think that happens, or do you think all these conferences go together?
No, I think that we're just going to see right now each conference is going to figure this out, right? When we think about the Power Five, which are the five major conferences we consider in college football, Pac-12, Big 12, the Big 10, ACC, and the SEC. Then you have the Power Five, then you have the Group of Five. Okay, the Group of Five consists of the American or the AAC, the Sun Belt, Conference USA, the MAC, and the Mountain West. Okay, mm-hmm. It's those five. They call them the Group of Five. Okay. These are the decisions that have to be made in terms of, are we going to have football this fall or are we going to move it to this spring? I think that they all know it's too tough for the Division I level. FBS, okay, the 129 schools that are within these five programs, I mean, within these 10 conferences, along with a couple of independents, it is too difficult to put a season on in the spring, okay, because now you're talking about guys who are going to be thinking about their NFL futures and say, I'm not playing in a spring football season because that's not going to be for me. So what I think college football is going to do, they're just going to try. They're going to wait it out. I think they're going to play the conference schedule. We've already seen the Pac-12 already announced that they're just going to go.
Which is the right thing to do.
Which is the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, it's a regional, okay? It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. So the PAC-12.
Same thing baseball's doing with the AOS, NOS.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, the Big Ten's doing it. I mean, when you're talking about conferences, with these conferences, you know, all these schools are really, you know, almost an hour flight, hour, 2.5, 3 hour flight max. You're not traveling all the way across the country. Obviously, look, the testing will continue. And I think the SEC is kind of the big domino. People are like, oh, the Ivy League was the first to cancel basketball and the tournament canceled after that. And I'm saying, I get all of that. And I know the Ivy League said they're going to do things in the spring. And Division II, I had some Division II coaches, friends of mine, they'll be doing things in the spring. But when it comes to the Power Five, and
yeah, they're not the SEC,
contracts,
right? They're not. They're not these big boys. They're not the Michigans of the world, the Ohio States. Completely different ballgame.
I mean, a lot of people who are hopefully listening know about Coach Orgeron, right? Ed Orgeron, former USC assistant, now current national champion. Or national title head coach of the LSU Tigers, was talking about it today, like. People in his region, and I've been down to that region, they need football. They want football. They are going to give you every reason, every stat, every you know, statistic that tells you why football is okay, why we'll be fine down here with whatever is going on in our country. People want to see football down in that country. It may not be so much here. California, we're a little different, right? We're gonna do we're gonna look at the numbers, and we're gonna make, you know, honest decisions. We're not gonna let our athletics rule what we do, right? But that's the difficult part, though, Alan. The difficult part is that there are some things that, you know, this season just can't be a wash. It's too much, too valuable to too many people, and that's the reason why I see this thing going on. That's the reason why I see. People are just waiting. They're hoping to see this downturn that we had prior to the summer months. But now it's kind of uptick, hoping that it can turn back down and people will feel more comfortable about playing college football this season.
So, Kirk, it's not out of the ordinary to think that, let's just say hypothetically, a couple months from now, you don't think it's out of the ordinary that the SEC decides, nope, we're going to play this conference-only schedule. And you know, they're going to have these humongous TV ratings, you know, if they actually end up doing it.
Yes, they will.
And
you're right.
they'll get this opportunity to just really kind of have the entire platform to itself. You don't think that's out of the ordinary? That's I don't want to say unlikely, because I think at the end of the day, you know, the virus is going to determine whether you're going to play or you're not, or unless you come up with some type of idea. But that can happen. So that's not out of the picture to have some of these conferences say we're going to do it and other conferences say, no, we're not having it.
No, definitely not out of the picture. And you got to remember, if you're doing conference only schedules, okay, a lot of these conferences are all revenue sharing. They share the profits of the TV contracts. They share the profits of going to the college football playoff. They share playing on New Year's Day or going to a bowl game. A lot of that money goes back into the conference. And so I think when you look at a pandemic, conferences are looking to say, look, if we do a conference-only schedule, everything that we get, it all is spread equally throughout our universities, right? And we don't have to worry about the extracurricular. Yeah, am I sad I'm not going to see USC and Alabama this year? Yeah, I'm sad, but if I do get a chance to see a Pac-12 schedule of all Pac-12 teams going against each other, that to me is pretty cool, right?
The pretty SEC cool. plan. It is. By the way, Kirk,
it's good. It may be better for USC for them to go that route than to go out and play a couple cupcakes.
Or even have to play Alabama and Notre Dame who are on the schedules.
Exactly. Now you won't have to do that. And so it actually may help if you're USC for one season. But this is where the group of five kind of they suffer in this, because there are some teams in the group of five, and I'll just throw one out there that I know of, is Hawaii, who had four Power Five games on their schedule.
Damn.
Have to be taken away in their preseason schedule. And we know when Hawaii's playing, a lot of times they're playing for a nice chunk of change, a nice big check that goes to the athletic department.
So this really hurts schools like that.
It hurts the group of five like no other.
Sure.
You know, schools that don't have that big budget, that don't have that surplus, that's what hurts them. So I think that's what's going on right now, because a lot of the non-conference games that have kind of been scheduled out, that have been contracted out, okay, how do you handle that? For some schools who are accounting for some of the money that goes to their budget, right? That's the hard part for a lot of these schools, is trying to figure that piece out. Because I think the SEC wants to go conference only, but then they also have some of those games in which they were going up against, we always call it Cupcake Weekend, some cupcakes, you know, like the Citadel, you know what I mean? Like the Citadel plays Alabama one weekend. We know that's not fair, but Citadel gets paid a nice little check from Alabama. A lot of those games won't take place, and so that's where
good good from that perspective, but I feel bad for the small schools.
Small schools not liking it at all right now. They're not gonna like it.
Okay, so Paul Feinbaum, stay tuned in. You got to hear what Feinbaum said on First Take a little bit earlier today. He's talking about people inside of college athletics about selling their fans, and he's very specific of what he's referring to there. So we'll play that when we come back. This is Alan Sliwa, Kirk Morrison, right here on 710 ESPN. Stay with us. Hey, Kirk. So Paul Feinbaum, his show on ESPN Radio, is it predominantly it's SEC, correct?
Correct. That's where he's got a majority of his fan base is down in the SEC.
Well, this is what I respect. I respect from him because, you know, College Football Insider, as good as it gets, he's just been, you know, making it happen for ESPN for a number of years, and it's obviously on college football, but he's been so critical. So for somebody who, you know, this is how he makes his living, this is college football is obviously his bread and butter, that's his foundation. I respect how critical he's been. Here's Paul Feinbaum on First Take talking about how college athletics is trying to sell a bag of goods.
There is a dysfunctionality in college football that has been warned about for many, many years, and on this program many, many times, and now it's finally come back to haunt the sport. The real issue in college football is keeping players on campus. A lot of players came back from break for the voluntary workouts, and what's the first thing they did? They go to a bar. And what's the second thing that happens? They get contaminated or test positive, I should say. So I don't think it's manageable. I mean, I Max's attitude is fine. He's probably going to be right. I am not opposed to what they're doing right now and what they're really doing, Stephen A. and Max. They're waiting for the numbers to tell them what to do. I hear a different version every day. It wasn't even 3 weeks ago I heard an AD say, I think we're going to have full stadiums. I mean, that's the problem. The people in college athletics have been selling their fans a pile of manure here for about 4 months, and unfortunately, it's all coming back to haunt them.
Kirk, you agree with that? Is that your perception of college football?
In terms of which part?
Just the part that they're trying to sell this bag of goods, as he put it, he's trying to sell a pile of manure. Here they are, and you got so many different people saying different things, and you even have some ADs out there saying, yeah, we still think we're going to actually have fans inside of stadiums. Do you agree that there is just let's just say there's a lot of different opinions that definitely not everybody pulling the rope in the same direction?
Yeah, I think a lot of people are going to say we're different, right? Just how we are different in state case by case with COVID, right? Some states are open, some states are closed. Some states, hey, we're comfortable, we're good, we're open. You know, we can have, you know, in restaurant dining, we can have, you know, gyms and salons and barbershops and museums. We can have that open. We can have our stadium open. Whereas you look at some of the other cities and parts of the country are saying, we can't do that. We're not allowed to do that. And so I think that's where, and we've talked about this, though. I don't think we talked about it last week. We're looking for, I think, some uniformity when it comes to sports, right? Where Major League Baseball, it's uniformity. Everybody's going to play a schedule where it's regionalized, no fans, and you kind of go from there. The NBA said we're going to do a bubble, okay? MLS said they're going to try to do a bubble, and and there's been some guys or some teams had to pull out because it didn't work. Some teams had players test positive for COVID. So I look at college football, and no, they can't have a bubble-like atmosphere or around their students. But what they can do, though, this is what they can do. They can get everyone together and hopefully keep them kind of in a situation where they're not allowed to, you know, be out like that, right? Because the hard part is this. You're always going to have, you know, young people need direction. So we're seeing that the testing has ramped up in certain schools, and it's been fairly positive. But what happens is it's just different between certain schools and universities. There has to be one uniform idea for all of college football, all right? For the FBS this year, Group of Five, Power Five, this is what we're doing. We're doing 25% capacity of your stadium can attend games. Okay, and we're doing.
Can you imagine that? Can you imagine if the AL and the NL had different plans, or divisions had different plans?
Like,
just think
about
that.
I mean, can't do that.
Can you imagine the NBA? It's like the Lakers, the Suns, the Kings, the Warriors are going to do one thing.
Like the West, like the Pacific Division is doing something different than the Central Division, right?
Right. Like it makes no sense at all. And I know. It is different. It's a lot easier to kind of control, but the way you're kind of referencing it, okay, well, at least the Power Five, you guys do things the same way. That's the part where I was surprised. I wanted to ask you that question. I asked the same question to Heather Dinich last week, and she didn't hesitate. She's like, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if one conference does one thing and another conference does another.
Correct. Because some conferences are going to be different. There is no uniformity. The only thing they uniform to is the playoff, college football playoff. Right? That, hey, there's going to be crowned one champion. But this is what happens. Each conference is its own league. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Making their own money, setting their own schedule.
And
right?
Their own television dollars, their own mm-hmm. contracts, their own games. Each conference is different. And it's crazy to say that not all conferences are equal. The Pac-12 is not equal to the SEC. SEC is going to be different than the ACC. The Big Ten is different than the Big 12. And you've seen what? You've seen some schools be left out of the college football playoff. The Pac-12 is one in particular that they've been left out of the college football playoff too many times, in my opinion. So, yeah, the Power Five are the ones who are really running college football. And if they don't have things in order, that's where you really start to scratch your head and say, how is college football going to happen? But I really believe that it's what the SEC does, right? Mm-hmm. They had their meeting yesterday. Nothing has come out. And what they've said is that they're going to wait till the end of July. So they're going to wait
That's
till
right.
probably the
mm-hmm.
end of July. Okay, we're talking about
a couple other conferences said
July
that too.
July 30th, 31st. They're going to give you the next 3 weeks. They are going to be crucial. When I say crucial for the SEC, they want to hopefully have some things in place. They want to see some numbers go down because they truly want to have their conference schedule and then a couple of other games in between there. Because, look, a lot of teams, they understand that college football, the torch, who holds the torch? It's the SEC. They're the ones that everybody's looking up to.
Let me play one more clip here. So this is USC Athletic Director Mike Bone, who was on the Scott Kaplan show a little bit earlier today. He's asked, actually the question is going to be in here, but talking about just the chances of playing this year.
Let's talk about today, Mike, the future of actually playing. Start me off with this. Do you think USC is going to play football this year?
Well, I'll tell you what, Scott, we're trying doing everything we can to try and play, but I think that you're a specimen of our ability to protect our athletes and coaches and staff yet alone our fans, is a significant challenge. So obviously, again, just like the entire country, we are hopeful to be able to play, but hope is not a great strategy. Instead, what we're trying to do is everything we can to ensure that our protocols are tight, that they're fundamentally sound, and that we have the ability to rally everybody to ensure our student athletes are safe. But as of right now, Scott, I think it's 50-50 at best.
All right, that's Mike Bone, the athletic director for USC, on with the Scott Kaplan Show. And we come back, Kirk, I'm going to stay on the football front, but I do want to switch gears a little bit. I want to talk a little NFL. So we know that there is some potential helmet face shields that are being built to protect players against coronavirus. Some of that conversation. ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter. Schefter was really talking about there's could very well be an unlikely that the preseason starts on time. So a number of different things on the NFL front. Plus, I want to get your thoughts on what happened with Washington, with their owner, Dan Snyder, and if you felt this was from the heart or it was forced to be done. I think we both already have our answer to that. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison on 710 ESPN.